you know what we're looking at. That's the subject. We're looking at details of God's saving righteousness. We're just looking at one at a time. And we're just going to look at one this morning. Let's notice this begin at verse 21. Therefore, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, that's the Old Testament, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that do what? Believe. You believe, it's charged to you. For there is no difference, that's Jew or Gentile. Everybody's saved the same way. Everybody goes to heaven by the same way, same righteousness, same Savior. Now here's our verse this morning. Here's detail number 4. We're all sinned. I want everybody to see that. Romans 3:23 is a verse you want to remember. For all have done what? All have sinned. All have sinned. There's not a person in this congregation that hadn't sinned. All of us have that in common. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the privilege of preaching Your Word. And Holy Father, we pray this morning that as I preach, You'd grant the unction of the Spirit of living God, that through this message, people would see what salvation is and the need for it. Love to see somebody saved here today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, our fourth detail, when we look at verse 3, all sin. Does that all include all of us? Yes. Does that include everybody in history? Yes, but one. There's only been one person that's never sinned. Do y'all know who that is? It's Jesus. Jesus is the only one that ever walked the world and never sinned. Everybody else has that in common. We're all lawbreakers. We've all broken God's law. So all have sinned and they come what? All come short. If you try to save yourself all the good things that you do, guess what you will do? You'll fall short. There's only one way you can know that you're not going to fall short, and that's by trusting Jesus, and He gives you His righteousness. Any other way, you will fall short. So all have sinned. Now, we're sinners two ways. Have I ever explained that to you before? You're actually sinners two ways. And I want to talk a little bit about that just here at the beginning. In the book of Romans chapter 5, just turn over. I'm not going to turn you over to everything. I want to remind you, if you don't have a Bible today, we can give you one. I believe we still got a case upstairs if you'd like to have your own. If we don't have a case upstairs, we'll buy you one. But we want you to have your own Bible so you can follow along. Romans chapter 5, and you look things up and study also at home. Romans chapter 5, notice what it says in verse 12. I want you to watch. Remember, I'm telling you, you're a sinner two ways. Okay? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Now, beloved, who's that one man by which sin entered the world? Who is that one man? Adam. He represented, did you know, he not only sinned in the garden, but Adam represented us in the garden. Did everybody hear me? He's actually in the Bible called the first Adam. Do you know who the second Adam is? Jesus. He's called the second Adam. So Adam represented us. He wasn't like us in the sense that we were all born with a sinful nature. We were born with it. We received it from our father and from the father before that all the way back to Adam. Adam was created upright. When he sinned with both eyes wide open. He knew it was sin. He knew it was wrong. And he was our representative. Everybody in the house, he was our representative. So that's what it's talking about here in Romans chapter 5. It says in, let's go ahead and read a little bit more here. I want to see where I want to stop at. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, death by sin. Now, that's why physical death happened, right? Why does men die today? Because we've all sinned. That goes all the way back to Adam. Dust thou art, until dust thou shalt return. That was one of the curses placed upon man. That came as a result of the sin of Adam. But that's not the only death we have to face, is it? There's not only physical death, but I want you, everybody in the house to hear me this morning, there's also a second death. There's also a second death. And what you need to fear is the second death. I can't tell you I'm not afraid to die. Well, I guess I can tell you that. I'm not really afraid to die. I don't want to die right now. I want to serve a little bit longer. But I'm not really afraid of it because it can't harm me. I know when I die, immediately I go off to be with the Lord, so I have no fear. That's physical death. But the thing you need to fear is the second death, and that's spiritual death. And what the second death or spiritual death is. That's what hell is. I do and did, and I don't fear that either. At one time I feared that. I thought that was a horrible thing. But I'm not afraid of it anymore. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? Not to be afraid to die physically and not to be afraid to die spiritually. I don't fear either one of them. You know why? Because Christ won the victory for me. I have victory over it. When I die, I go off to be with the Lord. Or if I don't die, Jesus is going to come and get me. Hell don't have no claims on me now. Because Jesus paid my hell on Calvary's cross. All God's people see it. Oh, let's read our text. It says, wherefore by one man sin entered the world, death by sin. So now watch this, what it says. So death passed upon all men. And in other words, when Adam fell, you did too, because he represented you. So you're a sinner through Adam. And notice what else says. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Stop here just for a little bit. Now, in the book of Exodus 20 is when the law was given. In the book of Genesis, you've got a lot of history right here in the book of Genesis. But men still died in the book of Genesis. They lived longer a lot of times, you'll read about in the book of Genesis. But guess what they all did? They all died. They all experienced death. Why is that? But that was before the law. Why did they die? Well, they died in Adam. Adam sinned. They died in their head. When Adam died, the curse was placed upon man. Everybody after that died. And that was done even before the law was given. So we've not only sinned in Adam. We've not only sinned in him, but we're also sinners ourselves. And that's what we're looking at today. Let's read a little bit more. For until the law, sin was in the world. Sin's not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Moses is who wrote the Ten Commandments, wasn't he? Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Why? Because they're charged with the sin of Adam. And so are you. You're a sinner two ways. You're charged with Adam's sin. Plus, the law's already been given. The law declares you a sinner too. Two ways you're a sinner. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even to them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure, of him that is to come. Beloved, who's the second Adam? Jesus. The second Adam is the Lord. The Bible says the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. How's he like the first Adam? Adam represented us in the garden. Jesus represented us on the cross. And when we trust him as our Savior, we receive his righteousness. Like we're charged with the sin. Hey! Like we're charged with the sin of Adam because he was our head. When you trust Jesus, you're charged with his righteousness. Oh, God's people say it. I like that, man. I like that. All right, Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned. Let's go back to our text now. We've all sinned. We sinned in Adam. But we've also sinned in deed. We've all sinned. That's what it says. All sin and come short of the glory of God. All of us. Now, in those that says we come short, we come short. This is why if you trust in yourself, if you trust in your deeds, you'll always fall short. You have to trust Jesus and you have to have His righteousness, or if you don't have that, then you will always fall what again? You will always fall short. That's the only way you can know that you're saved. All sin, that means we've all broke this. We've all broken God's law. We're all under a sin curse. So we sinned in Adam and we've also sinned in deed. You know what? Everybody here in the congregation is sinned. Everybody sitting is sinned. Everybody standing is sinned too. We're all lawbreakers. We're all lawbreakers. In Adam, but also in deed. We've all sinned. Galatians chapter 3. I want you to turn there with me. I was hoping this would be extra short. That don't mean nothing anymore, does it? It ain't going to be real long, I don't think. I tried to make it that way because I wanted it to be real slow, real short, plain, and hopefully powerful. Galatians chapter 3. Now, I want you to listen to what this said. When the Bible says we've all sinned, what that means is that we've all broken God's law. Not only are we charged with the sin of Adam, but we ourselves have sinned. We've all broken. Everybody here has that in common. All of us are sinners. We're born sinners. We're actually born sinners. We're sinners by nature We're sinners by choice. We're also sinners by practice. We're in a mess. Y'all agree? Ain't you glad Jesus come? Without Jesus, we wouldn't have anything to look forward to but death. And then after death would come the second death. Think of what a miserable existence. Think of what a miserable existence it is for people not to have eternal life, not to have victory over death, and not to have a home in heaven. I can't imagine living that way. I watch people all the time sometimes, what they call successful people. And they have a lot of money, and they have a nice car and cars. They don't have one car, they got cars. And there ain't nothing wrong with that, unless that's the main reason you live, you know. But at the end of someone, but what's sad is at the end of their days, and I've seen this sometimes, y'all like to watch that show, Pickers. I love that show. That's my favorite show. You say, well, what did he preach on? He preached on the Pickers this morning. I love to watch that. And you know, one thing I learned from watching the Pickers, they go to these people's houses and they have all of these things that's meant something to them all their days. Go watch it. All their days. And Brother Larry, now they're old. And guess what they're doing? They're getting rid of it. And you know why they're getting rid of it? Because they can't take it with them. It's valuable to them. They live for these type of things. Then they bought and sold. And there's nothing wrong with that. I like that kind of thing too. But the sad thing is, when someone lives just for the earthly things, when they come to the day they die, all that matters on the day that you die is whether or not you have eternal life. Whether or not you're with Jesus, whether or not you have victory over death, whether or not you're with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. That's what comforts your family on the day you die too. I don't do someone's funeral that was saved. So, well, I tell you what. I said, brother so-and-so left his son a four-wheeler. Oh, he's going to be happy. No, that wouldn't make. He don't care. People's family don't care about things like that the day they die. They care about whether they're with the Lord or not when the family's saved. Y'all with me? That's what makes a difference. That's what you need to have. Well, we're sinners indeed, and we need everlasting life. Galatians 3 verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, cursed is everyone. It doesn't continue. And all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So we're under a sin curse. Now, since you're close to Galatians, let's turn to Philippians 3. We'll get this out of the way. So everyone in the congregation today, what we're doing, we're looking at God's saving righteousness. The reason why we need God's saving righteousness is because we've all sinned. We've all sinned. And what does that mean? It means we can't attain righteousness by our deeds. Hear me. You can't attain Christ's righteousness by your deeds. It can't be done. It absolutely can't be done. I wish everybody that was religious realized that. I wish sinners realized that. Since we've all sinned, we can't save ourselves now by our deeds. We can't be perfect because that's the requirement. Every one of us has broken God's law, are under a sin curse. What we need more than anything else is to be set free from that curse. To where, as it says in Romans chapter 8, to where there will be no condemnation to those who are... There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You've got to be in Him. And it's a faith access in Him. Turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. So we sinned in Adam. We've also sinned how else? We sinned in thee, all of us. We're sinners two ways. So that's why we need a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior. And then when you, by faith, trust Him, remember, He gives you His righteousness, which we say almost every service. So notice what it says in Philippians 3. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you don't care. I'm not going to embarrass you. How many of you have heard of the Apostle Paul or Saul of Tarsus? Raise your right hand. I want to see how many. Just a bit. Yeah, good. I want to tell you about Saul of Tarsus. Before he was saved, before Saul of Tarsus was saved, before he became the Apostle Paul, he was called Saul of Tarsus. In his day, the Bible says that he was the chief sinner. And when it says he's a chief sinner, it doesn't mean he was a town drunk. He wasn't that. He was a religious man. That's what I want you to understand. He was a religious man. And his whole life was about earning his salvation. That's what he's trying to do. He was a Pharisee. He tried to keep the law. He tried to observe all the Sabbaths, and he did. When he persecuted Christians, he thought he was serving God because he thought they were a false religion. So he sought to stamp them out. That's what he was doing. His whole life was about serving God before he was even saved. But he was religious, lost man. There's all kinds of people that way. He trusted a false way. Here's what he was trying to do, Larry. He was trying to earn his way there. That's what Pharisees did. Well, I want you to notice what he says here in Philippians chapter 3. Notice what it says in verse 4. I love this text. If you folks get this text for me today, it'll make my day because I want everybody to know it. He describes what he trusted in before he was saved. Notice what he says in verse 4. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, what does it mean, confidence in the flesh? That means when he was a Pharisee, all of his confidence of heaven was in his flesh. That's where it was at. That he was a good man, that he did his best, that he kept the law, that he did all the observed all the feast days, that he went to Jerusalem to the temple at the appropriate times. That was where all of his confidence was at. Everybody see that in verse 4? He said, if any man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Notice what he says in verse 5. Here's what he describes to the church of Philippi, and now to the church of Elizabeth. He's telling you what he trusted in before he was saved. He says he was circumcised the eighth day. And you go back in the Old Testament, they circumcised the little Jewish boys at 8 days old. And God had a reason for doing that, because that's when the blood is checked. And it's the best time to do it. God knew it was the best time to do it, and that's why they done it at that particular age. But this was also a religious practice for the Jews. They would refer to the Gentiles as the uncircumcised, and they would refer to themselves as the circumcised. They viewed the uncircumcised as lost people. So many of them thought they were saved because they were circumcised after the manner of Moses. That's what he's saying here in verse 5. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was the stock of Israel. He was a thoroughbred Jew. He said, I was the tribe of Benjamin. Remember what king came from the tribe of Benjamin? King Saul. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he was in the most strictest sect of Judaism. He was a Pharisee. You never got anybody any more dedicated than the Pharisees was, and more dedicated than Saul of Tarsus either. He thought he was serving God when they throwed stones at Stephen, the first Christian martyr, and put him to death. He thought all of that. Well, notice what happened. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, is blameless. But what things were gained for me, I count a loss for Christ. What things were gained for me, I count a loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things. Now watch here now. I've suffered the loss of all things. I think probably Paul had a lot of money. I think he lost his money. When he got saved, I think he lost his because he's a tent maker. That's how he supported his ministry. But I think when he was a Pharisee, I think he had plenty. I really do. Many of them was rich anyhow. So I think he had a lot of money then. I think he probably lost his wealth. He lost his position. He lost his honor amongst the Pharisees. He lost all of that. But notice what he says about his losses. He said, I count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He gets saved, he had to turn his back on his religion. He gets saved, he had to turn his back on all of his old friends. I can just imagine, Saul, what is wrong with you? You have a position amongst us. You're going to go follow them heathens? Yes, I am. He turned his back on his friends. Sometimes when you choose to follow Jesus, you'll lose certain friends, but you'll gain other ones. You'll gain other ones that will stick with you for life. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Watch this now. Verse 9 is what I want you to get. So he describes what all he gave up when he trusted Jesus. He describes at one time what he trusted in, and then he quit doing it. And here's what he did. Here's what he wanted. I want everybody in the house to get verse 9. If you don't get anything out of anything today, I want you to get verse 9. Here's where Paul wanted to be. Here's where I want to be. Here's where you want to be. Notice what he says. I want to be found in Him. In Him, who's the Him? I want to be found in Jesus. That's what he's telling you. I want, when the day I die, or the day that Jesus comes, here's what I'm saying. I want to be found in Him. That's how you know you're, that's how you know you're where you need to be. You're in Him. I want to be found in Him. Now notice what else it says. Not having my own righteousness, which is by the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ. Now watch this now. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Righteousness that comes by what? Faith. So we've sinned in Adam, we've also sinned indeed, but in Christ, when you trust Him as your Savior, then you're viewed as being in Him. That's a wonderful position to be in. When you look at the Scripture, I did a series on that one time. The book of Romans 8, there is now, therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. All the in passages, wonderful passages to look at. That's how it's viewed. Kind of like being in the ark. All this judgment getting ready to fall, Noah and his family got inside the ark. So when you looked at the place of safety, where was Noah? They were in the ark. Guess what? I'm in Jesus. That's like being in the ark. It's the place of safety. It's a place where the only way you can know you have enough in order to be in heaven. All God's people say it. All right. Now, is that clear what I gave you this morning? I think it's clear what I've given you so far. We've all sinned. That's why you can't be saved by the law. That's why you can't be saved by your deeds. So if someone's trusting their deeds, guess what's going to happen? They're not going to make it. You say, but they believe in God, but they don't trust in Jesus. That's the difference. You've got to trust in Jesus. The song, The Solid Rock, says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's what salvation righteousness is. That's the only way you can obtain it, is that way. But many will fall prey to works-based salvation. I want to say this one more time. We live in a really politically correct time, y'all think? But I want to remind you, for the minute, I'm not politically correct. I don't try to be. What I try to do is to be true to the Scriptures. And then I don't worry about nobody else. If people don't like what I say about the Word, I've had people not like me and cut me. I can't imagine that. But they cut me. I've had them do that before. But they can't cut what I say. See, there's a difference when someone will cut you because they don't like what you say. But they can't say nothing about what I say. Because it's Bible. It has to be Bible. True Bible. Bible fits the context of Scriptures. Now, the devil is never so dangerous as when he carries a Bible. The devil is never so dangerous as when he carries a Bible. As sure as there are true churches, there's also false ones. As sure as there are true preachers, there's also false preachers. As sure as there are true angels, there's also demons. Satan's a counterfeiter, so he'll seek. He knows what the plan of salvation is. He knows what the true gospel is. So he's going to try to counterfeit it. Look, 2 Corinthians even says that he has ministers. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. Even his ministers, it says, is transformed into an angel of light. They do that. Let me show you some of their victims. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. If you can't find things, I'm going to read this for you. And these are people that are religious, but they pressed it a false way. I'll be asking you some questions about some of these things I'm going to give you. Matthew chapter 7. I hope I'm clear. I hope you see exactly where I'm coming from today. God's saving righteousness, this is the fourth message on it. And I'm just showing you it doesn't come by your works. Because once you've broke God's law, you're under the curse. There's no way you can save yourself. Everybody got it? No way you can save yourself once you've broke God's law and under the sin curse. You can't earn it? No way you can. You can't. That's why God sent His Son to purchase the gift. That's why God sent His Son to purchase the gift of salvation for you. What I call it? He purchased the gift of salvation. And He paid the price in full. You know how you get it? You've been going most Christmas time, isn't it? How do you get a gift? You receive it. You don't earn it. I went back, and I'm not gonna give Larry a gift, I don't think. If I was gonna give Larry a gift, you know, I would pay for it. I wouldn't give him the gift. All right, there it goes. Now I paid half of it. I want you to pay the rest of it. That wouldn't be much of a gift, would it? That'd make you women, if your husband did that, if he went out and bought a gift and then paid half of it, and I paid half of it, you pay the rest of it. That's what people do with Jesus. He don't halfway pay for his gift. He paid it in full. You receive it, my brother, it's paid for. It's paid for, and your sins is also paid for in two. Look at these people right here. This is sad. And you know who's preaching here in Matthew 7? Of course, the whole Bible is Jesus' word anyway. But here in Matthew 7 is when he's on earth. He's on a mountain. He's on a mountain. He's sitting. He just did like the Jewish rabbis did. He'd sit down and preach. He didn't run all over the place like I do. He'd sit down and he'd teach. But nobody preached like him. There's nobody ever walked this planet to preach like the Master. Man, people, they went. They sent two men to. They sent him guards to arrest him one time, and they went to arrest him, and they started listening to him preach, and they just like, and never arrested him. Walked back and they said, "Where's he at?" He said, "Man, nobody spoke like that man. He preached with power and authority. Nobody preached like the Master." I can't wait to hear the Master preach. Can you? Greatest thing about heaven for me is hear the Master preach. I want to hear the Master preach. I want to sit right down and suck it all in and hear him. Verse 21, get this. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Watch this now in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name have we not casted out demons? And in your name done many wonderful what? All right, stop. Now let me ask you a question. What's those people trusting in? Their mighty works. Yeah, their deeds. Do these people believe in God? Yep. Probably believed in a six-day creation, just like we did. Probably believed in heaven and probably believed in hell too. Had to. But they never trusted the right way. Their mouth reveals what they're trusting. Their mouth always does. Many wonderful works. That's what they were trusting in. Sometimes I'll visit people on a deathbed and I'll ask them, are they saved? And I'll never just ask that. I've seen preachers do that before. It's awful. Are you saved? Yep. Come back out. Yep, they're saved. But they never ask them a second question. Why do you say they're saved? That tells you what you're trusting in. You need to know what they're trusting in. Do you see where I'm coming from? Why do you say you're saved? Well, I've done the best I can. I've been a good person all my days. I put a little money in the church every now and again, you know. They'll tell you all these things. That's not why you're saved. You can't be saved by your works. You can only be saved by Jesus. I like for people to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's where it's at. That's a person that knows you're saved. I ain't shy about it anymore. I'm so backward anyhow in certain situations. But man, when it comes to eternity, you can't worry about things like it. You just got to go with it. Man, we're talking about eternity in the balance. You need Christ's righteousness. You're trusting in yourself. Well, sometimes people get mad, yell, but they'll know where they're staying the time you leave. And that's what they need to know. They said, Lord, we've done many wonderful works. And then he said, I'll profess it to them, I never knew you. Oh, could you imagine? You know how many countless millions will face that? I'm sorry. Do you know how many countless trillions will hear the Master say, I don't know you. You've never trusted. I don't know you. You're not a sheep. I don't know you. Does that cause you to shudder? It would me. Here's people that, these people actually thought they were saved. That's what I want you to see. They thought they were. They thought they were okay. And he says, depart from me. I don't know you. What's the problem? They didn't have no righteousness. Standing in Christ dressed in their own righteousness and they didn't make it. And nobody ever will. Isn't that a frightening text of Scripture to look at? Don't know you.
Don't tell you.
Well, today's message was on salvation righteousness. This is the fourth message. And what the message was about is you can't attain it by your works. Why is that? Because all sin. That makes it impossible. Everybody got it? That's why you can't do it. It makes it impossible. Now you can't. Now there's a subtle way that I've watched this done. All kinds of churches that teach that you can be saved and lost. You're saved 1 minute and lost. Now go get saved over and over. I've seen that so much that it just sickens me. You can only be saved one time. A true salvation is one time. And when you trust Jesus, what He does, He gives you His righteousness. Here's what people do. They make a profession of faith, and then what they try to do is, here, are you with me? I'm not being mean, I'm just telling you where it's at, okay? What they do is they say, well, now I'm going to be perfect. So what they do is they run back and forth to the front of the church all the time, and because to get, have you ever heard the term confessed up? Let me say it one more time. You ever heard the term, I want to get confessed up so I can get caught up? That's not salvation. That's a probationary period. I could do your service. I could do Brother Larry's service. And I tell you what, Larry's with the Lord today if he didn't miss one. You're going to miss confessing something. That's not salvation. Do you hear where I'm coming from? It's not. That's tribulation is what it is. You're not going to make it. You got to. He takes care of all your sin. Book of Romans 4 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He don't charge sin to you. He charged your sin to Jesus. Here's what confession is. Confession is a child going to their father asking for forgiveness. That's what it is. When you trust Jesus as your Savior and become His child, do you still sin after you're saved? Now, the Bible says if you say you're without sin, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. That's what 1 John 1 says, and that's the truth. I'm born again, I'm saved. I look forward to never sinning. I still have evil thoughts, do you? We all do. We don't measure up. But I tell you what, when you trust Jesus and you have His righteousness, you know you've got enough righteousness to go. That's the only way you can know you're ready to go up. And when you confess your sins after you're saved, that's for the purpose of staying close to the Lord. It's a child going to the Father saying, Father, look, I've sinned against you. You know what? I confess sins every day. How many else does that? I confess sins every day. Now, if your salvation was based on you saying, confess that, do you see how hopeless that would be? Of course, you wouldn't miss one. I've heard of people waiting until the very last moment, right before they died, hoping they could call out and get them all caught up right at the last moment. That's not trusting Jesus. And that's someone that doesn't know about Christ's righteousness. Everybody see me? I want you to know today, if you trust Jesus, He pays it all. He pays it all. And then He charges to you His righteousness. Without that, you'll fall short every time. All God's people see it. Hope you understand that. And when you understand that how short you fall, that's why you need Christ's righteousness. Beloved, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I set before you a way of life and a way of death. Choose life. Choose life. If you're here today and you never trusted Jesus, you know you can right there where you're at. You can. If you see your need today, the Holy Spirit's revealed to your heart and opens your heart and you realize you're lost. The Bible says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll tell you about an old Pharisee and a publican prayed to the Lord one day. The Pharisee was blowed up with pride, never did call for salvation. Just prayed the prayer of all the wonderful works that he'd done. But the old publican prayed this, God, be merciful. A sinner. And Jesus said, that man went home justified. You know what justified means? Just as if he had never sinned. Removed his debt, give him his righteousness. How about you today? How about today? Maybe for the first time you understand it.
How about today? Maybe you misunderstood it all this time. And you've been saved seven times. I've seen people been saved seven times in their life. That's not salvation. That's probation. You ain't going to make it that way. Now for the first time you've seen Jesus paid it all. Now for the first time you've seen us through His righteousness. Now for the first time you see He doesn't charge your sin to you. He pays your debt in full. Today's the day then for you. We're going to close with a word of prayer. If you would, please stand. And we're going to let you out. I preach a little bit shorter so you won't fire me while I'm in Arizona. We're going to take 1 minute of silent prayer. If you're here today and you've drifted from the Lord, you're not where you need to be. You drifted. He still loves you just as much as He always has. You need to get that right with Him and get back in God's house faith. Not just back in God's house once in a while, but I mean back in God's house faith. Get that straightened out. You've got to keep your priorities straight after you're born again. Satan will try to hinder that. If you're then lost, if you call on Him, you ask Him to save you, He'll save you right there where you're at. Okay. I'm going to ask you to do that today, and we're going to take a minute of silent prayer, and I'm going to give you a 1 minute. I'm going to give you an opportunity. You don't have to do it in 1 minute, but I'll give you an opportunity to call on Him. Everybody bow their head. Let's take 1 minute of silent prayer, and I'll call on somebody just a minute.